Hey, Millionaire Mindcast team here. Today's episode is a continuation of last week's episode. This is part two between Matt Aitchison and Michael Hananel. Feel free to fast forward to 8 minutes and 8 seconds to start off right where they left off last week. Now, without further ado, on with the show.
Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, guys? Matty A here, and welcome into today's episode of Millionaire Mindcast. I've got one of my favorite millionaire guests here on the show today. This might be one of the most impactful and timely shows that I think I've ever put out in the 300 plus episodes. With everything going on in the world, with politics, with race, with control, whether no matter what you believe in certain aspects of our life, of our businesses, of our freedoms, of the economy, of your own health, we covered a lot of ground today. So I'm actually, because we talked about so much, I'm splitting this up into two episodes. That should tell you we covered a lot of ground. And you guys are going to get to tune in and meet one of my mentors and friends. He does not have social media. He doesn't put out a ton of content, but he's hands down one of the smartest minds, most well-read, and brilliant people that I've ever been around, to be completely honest. Some of his stuff is polarizing. Some of his stuff might feel extreme. Other things might align and hit directly on where you need it to hit at this point in time based on where you're at. But if you're new to the show, welcome. This is going to be a good one to start off your Millionaire Mindcast experience. We talk about on this show all things mindset, money, and market updates to help you on your march to a million and beyond. Whatever your definition of wealth, whatever your definition of financial freedom, living a rich life, life by design is, and what you're working towards, we just have conversations that hopefully will equip you and arm you to go in and do the work in certain areas to help you get there a little bit faster. With that being said, if you haven't hit me up yet and said, what up, shoot me a text, 844-447-1555. And also, before we dive in today, don't forget to check out all the freebies, resources, opportunities that we have at MillionaireMindcast.com. All the links and references that Mike talked about in the show will also be there in the show notes. If you want my free real estate investing course, if you want to know more about working and mentoring with me one-on-one, if you want to get more insight on the deals and the investments that I offer to our Millionaire Mindcast community, you can get all that over at MillionaireMindcast.com, or you can text the word invest for the real estate investing course, text the word mentor for mentorship, and text the word deals for more information on businesses and or real estate investments that I'm buying that I offer out to others to invest in. You can text that to the same number, 844-447-1555. With that being said, what did we cover today? Well, we talked about a lot. That's why I'm breaking it up into two episodes. But this shift in the world is happening right now. And what Mike really talked about was, you know, life before COVID and life after COVID. And really, he doesn't believe there will ever be a life before COVID that we go back to. And that's just part of the evolution anyways. With the world that we live in, you have to adapt, you have to evolve. And the people who resist that are often the ones who have the biggest struggle and challenge creating abundance and living the life that they want in this new world. And the ones who adopt it really are the ones who accelerate getting to where they want and even further than they could have ever imagined. But we talked a lot about, you know, just what is going on in the world right now with, you know, suicide up, drug use up, spousal abuse up, depression up, and how this is, you know, really impacting our world in general. And how you can navigate these times and how you can find the answers that you're looking for and the tools that you need in order to get to where you want to go. But we also talked about, you know, some of the big concerns and this great awakening that us as humanity are having and that we're leaning into and we're fighting back against, and how that is kind of changing the rules of life, of politics, of race, of investing, wealth building, and how these rules of the money game are changing. He shares a lot of predictions on Well, one, why he called it the greatest depression, not the Great Depression, the greatest depression that we will ever see, and why he thinks that, when that's going to happen, what that looks like for the dollar, and how, you know, this confidence in our currency is being lost, and what that could look like, how you can get in front of that. Where do you invest if things are going to hell in a handbasket? Where do you invest? How do you build wealth? And it wasn't all doom and gloom, but he talked about some realities that we have to think about and we have to prepare for. So it was very interesting. He talked about gold and silver. He talked about real estate. He talked about the stock market. He talked about, in general, how businesses are going to be forced to adapt in this, you know, new concept of social entrepreneurship and a must-have in your business model, whether you're building a business or you have a business, that if you don't, you will get canceled. And overall, it was just such a great conversation. So I'm so excited for you guys to get a taste of Mike and, you know, his outlook, his perspective, and some of the amazing resources that he plugs into, that you can tap into. This was a fun one. So with that being said, if you guys enjoy today's episode, all I ask is that you share it with a friend, you leave a review on iTunes, and be sure to hit me up on Instagram and let me know what your thoughts are after listening to it. My handle is official Mattie A. Know that you can get all these episodes if you want to watch the full video on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. So without any further ado, thanks for tuning in today. Let's continue this March to a Million and Beyond right after this quick message from today's show sponsor.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process. And in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
I feel like, you know, both you and I are pretty intentional human beings. We're, you know, obviously very intentional in the business world and the wealth building world, but also with our families and our health. And I feel like I know my wife and my kids better than I could have ever imagined. And I thought I knew them really well before. I feel like I know what I stand for and who I am on a much deeper level now. You know, I'm taking care of my mental, my physical, my spiritual health. Your wife sent me something really cool with her amazing company. And that's a whole nother conversation, because your wife is an amazing, badass entrepreneur herself, but sending me that self-care kit, people are kind of going like, I need, my priorities have maybe been shaken up a little bit to go, what really does matter for me? People, you know, thinking about taking care of themselves in different ways, and people and causes in different ways. You know, what do you urge people to lean into on that front, on, you know, self-care? And I'm curious on how kind of your wife's company has really kind of segued and tied into all that.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, my wife, we learned from David Osborne, who's, you know, one of the founders of the tribe you and I are part of, GoBundance, that that his biggest wealth creation in his world happened when he understood and was able to attract other empire builders into his world. And so those people can create their own empire within his empire. Yep. And so his empire grows. And when I understood and learned that from David, actually, I was at his house in in Colorado where we were going through a training, and it just sort of dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute, I'm married to an empire builder. How cool is that? Like, I don't even have to, I mean, it's always good to attract. And I actually think my new employee who's running my management company is also an empire builder. So I'm excited about that mini empire that we're going to build together as well.
Nice.
My wife, interestingly enough, now, again, we're talking about some interesting metaphysical stuff. So I can share this that, you know, I went to see a psychic with my wife 7 years ago.
Okay.
And before that, I never would have gone to see a psychic, and I probably still never would have ever seen a psychic if it wasn't for a very good friend of mine who's an electrical contractor who's not the kind of guy who would ever believe in a psychic, but then told me one night that his sister married a real psychic, and I was like, yeah, but you don't believe in that. He goes, I know, but like, this guy is the real deal. He actually talks to ghosts and shit, and I was like, what? And so I'm like, if my friend Bob thinks this guy's a psychic, then you know, he's probably really a psychic. So we went and saw him, and it was a profound, life-changing moment. I recorded the session. Everything he said that was going to happen, many things he predicted, one thing specifically 5 years in the future, happened exactly almost to the day 5 years into the future.
Wow.
Regarding my dad and some of these crazy. Other crazy things he said. So, and he was speaking to my grandfather, who he said is one of my spiritual guides. Anyway, after 7 years, I don't know why my wife, because of COVID and everything happening, she felt the need to reach out to him again. And so a couple of weeks ago, we did another session with him. He didn't even really remember what he said to us 7 years ago because he sees people all day long. This is
right.
Just what he does. He said again that my father's father's spirit was there, my grandfather. So now I know that he happens to be one of my spiritual guides and has always been one of my spiritual guides. He said, while we're talking about a bunch of other random stuff, he sort of suddenly said, oh, by the way, your wife has finally found the right billionaire. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, this is like the fifth or sixth one, right? And I had to like think about what he was even talking about and discuss it with my wife. But sure enough, he was right. I mean, it's the sixth billionaire that my wife has attracted into her life. And so, what she's been wanting to do for like 5 years, being that she's an expert in the cosmetics industry, was to create a private equity fund that would fund private equity. Because she's her creative mind is always moving at such a rapid pace that she can never just like work on one thing. She needs to be working on like 10 things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she's always wanted to have a firm, a private equity firm that she could be building multiple companies at the same time with, and then own, you know, an equity stake in each of these companies. So if one of them, you know, goes big, she can have a big payout. She's ready for a big payout in her life. And after, you know, now getting to the sixth billionaire. Now, just thinking about the chances of that, right? She comes from a very small town in South Dakota. I think there was like 3,000 people in the town that she grew up in. And at 18 years old, she knew she had to leave and drove to New York City, which her family would never go to New York City. Like they hate the big cities, and just like never went back. And then eventually moved to LA and I met her here. And so, you know, this little girl from South Dakota in her lifetime, I mean, there's let's say 3,000 billionaires on planet Earth and there are 7.7 billion people on planet Earth. Just do the math. I mean, the percentage of meeting one billionaire is extremely tiny, you know, let alone working for six of them in one lifetime. So that's pretty extraordinary, just that in and of itself. But this time she attracted the right billionaire, according to the psychic. Now we'll see. I mean, we're only a year into this journey, but she did start a private equity a year ago. She got a billionaire with his family office to fund it. They've launched their first line. The entire venture is all about contribution and giving back. There's not one of the I think five brands that they're currently working on. Selfish is the first one that's fully launched. There's a few others. There's a hair care product line that's out already, but they're investing in it. So it's either new companies they're building from scratch, which is what Selfish is, which is a men's skincare line that we sent
some great products.
On.
I got those. I'm going to be looking nice and healthy and skin's going to be on point.
I mean, the thing about, you know, COVID and being forced to stay at home is people are the trend is really, you know, coming back with self-care. We're realizing that, you can't really be there for others or for your family or anyone else if you haven't taken care of yourself first.
Totally.
And so it's inside and outside. I mean, now that we, you know, since we're in this three-dimensional physical space, you may as well look and feel your best.
Right.
And so these skincare products are designed, her partners are men, so they were like the product developers. So it's men, products developed by men for men. There's never been a skincare line like this. All the products, all the ingredients are natural ingredients. There's no chemicals. All the components, even the packaging, it's all made in the United States. Two of the main products, the facial scrub, which you really only need to use once a week, and then the facial cleanser, which I use every day in the shower, and it smells so good. It feels so good. Like, it's very refreshing product. Like, you feel like you're putting like
natural, coming out all brand new.
Yeah, there's like lemon and all this, like, it just feels so good on your face. But anyway, $5 from the sale of each of those two products, the scrub and the cleanser, between now and the end of the year. And the products are like $14, I think, is the cleanser, and I think the scrub is $20. And they have a store on Amazon now. Of course, you can go to selfishskin.com is their website, but also on Amazon they have a store. But no matter where you buy it, $5 from each of those two products is going to go to Movember. Movember is a men's health charity, and their mission is to create awareness of men's health issues. A lot of people a lot of men especially, don't go to the doctors, you know, until mm-hmm. it's really late yep. or too late. So it's all about preventing, especially things like prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and suicide prevention. Those are some of the most deadliest things that afflict men in our society, and especially suicide these days, as we've talked about,
yep.
is a real problem. And so Movember aims to reduce premature death by those three causes by 25% within the next 10 years. And so it's a great charity that Selfish is aligned with and partnered with. Minimum of $40,000 they've pledged to Movember for this year alone. But $5, like I said, from each of those two products goes to it every time you buy. So you know you're helping do something good, in this case for men's health issues, when you're buying these products. So all of her brands have a give back component. They're working on a much larger brand that'll be a lifestyle brand, which is called Wild Elements. And Wild Elements has the concept of taking care of plant kind, animal kind, and human kind, because all three are completely interwoven and interdependent upon one another. We cannot live on planet Earth without our plants and our animals, and they cannot live without us. And so there's really, you know, of course, environmental has become a big political agenda, and the political class has accosted the environmental agenda. But the real truth is we're destroying our planet, our natural world, and we depend on this planet for our life. So there'll be actually a foundation. They're actually going to create a foundation where they're just going to be donating money for causes. But
that's
a lot
awesome.
Of it will go towards education, creating documentaries, content, online content, programming around it. And then, of course, there will be a whole skincare, but also nutritional line of products. I mean, it's actually going to be a pretty aggressive and broad and big strategy that will roll out over several years.
Well, we'll be sure to link all of that up, anybody that wants to check that out. And you said something earlier too, for, you know, all the entrepreneurs, all the business owners, and I think now more than ever, right? There's this, we don't align with that, you're canceled, right? Or, we don't like that about your business, oh, you're canceled, this cancel culture. And you said something earlier that just really hit me in terms of how people might want to think about either one, from the ground up building their business model, or two, maybe adapting their business model in this capacity. You said taking without giving back, it won't be accepted in the future. What did you mean by that?
I really believe that as the consciousness of humanity becomes elevated, which I believe is in process now, and there's many people who are, you know, I feel like I've become awakened this year, even though I've probably been, you know, I've spent my whole life seeking truth. And so I feel like I've always been somewhat awake. But for some reason, I feel like I've really woken up, like, to a whole nother level this year. You know, COVID has really done a lot to change the vibrational energy. And so it's forced us to either adapt to it, meaning you raise your own vibrational energy to meet it, you know, or we talked about the other option, which is the unfortunate option of shriveling up and dying, unfortunately, but yeah. You know, it is happening. And so all companies, all products, all things that people consume, I believe we're coming to a point where if people don't believe there's a component of that consumption that will benefit somebody else other than themselves, mm-hmm. there's going to be less and less people willing to partake in that. You know, we had a big, in the 1980s, it was all about me and I and wealth. And of course, wealth and the dollar bill became the new idol of American culture. And still to this day is very yep. much idolized. Wealth is idolized in this culture. And I think those days are behind us. I think it's going to change because even people who have wealth like yourself, like me, we're recognizing that that's not what life's about. And that's not important actually. It's nice to have it. It's really just an energy, right? Money and wealth is just an energy, and it's a resource. You can use it for good. You can use it for bad. Ultimately, those of us that are trying to do our part to fulfill whatever our reason for being on this planet is, which usually comes to, if you're really true to yourself, you're going to find that your purpose was to do something to help other humans mm-hmm. in some form or fashion, whatever mm-hmm. your skill is, whatever your art is, whatever your, you know, background is, you were put here to do something to help others. You know, it's a deep spiritual belief. A lot of religions talk about this. The Kabbalah, which is an ancient mysticism in Judaism, talks about this, that obviously we understand the hierarchy of needs, Maslow's hierarchy mm-hmm. of needs. It's very hard to become Zen-like of what we're talking about if you can't pay your rent, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, you gotta start off first with getting the basics and getting yourself situated to a point where you can be in this space to then give back to the maximum. But because I believe we're moving in that direction, a lot of companies and brands that don't have a true, authentic give back component, authentically have a purpose of contributing to society. I think those businesses are days are numbered. I think those businesses will eventually close down. There's only so much the government can prop up with fake money printing some of these zombie companies. A lot of these zombie companies need to be allowed to fail and shut down.
Yep.
They're not serving humanity anymore.
Quit bailing them out.
And I think they'll eventually go away. So really today's business people, today's entrepreneur needs to continually figure out how what they're doing can help more. Whatever it is, you know, I mean, there's...
There's a bunch of different things, right? Whether it's you have a passion for animals, you have a passion for planet Earth, you have a passion for a certain, you know, health crisis. There's so many different things, right, that you can tie in and weave into the DNA of your business. And I think this idea of social entrepreneurship is been gaining steam and momentum, but like you said, I think it's compounding quickly right now, and people should really be thinking about that in their business model. I love that. You also said something a little bit ago that stuck out to me, because you know what's crazy? This is how I know both of us have grown significantly. 5 years ago, all we would have been talking about is, hey, real estate, money, investing, what's going on, right?
And
we haven't even talked about that one time.
That's all we would have talked about. You're right. I'm surprised we haven't talked about it this time.
And we have to, right? Because the listeners of the show, of course, many of them are still on that wealth building journey.
Yeah.
And like you said, hey, it's tough to give back. It's tough to be Zen-like. It's tough to be a well-rounded human being when you are just broken financially. And you talked about the rules of the money game. And there's a lot of stuff that is changing in this game right now.
Yes.
What is your overall outlook as to our economy? And shifting gears a little bit towards kind of the external wealth building X's and O's and game plan and roadmap. First and foremost, what's your overall sentiment of where we're at in the economy and where we're heading in the economy?
Unfortunately, the economy is in a very bad place right now. You know, the longer the government stays shut down, especially in states like California, where, you know, people still cannot go to restaurants, you still cannot get a haircut. legally in a salon, you know. It's going to create, of course, a black market. You know, people are going to do these things anyway. They're just going to do them illegally. And so, you know, that then creates a whole nother problem. But unfortunately, no matter what, even if the government were to reopen everything today, a lot of what's been lost won't be easily fixed or regained. So my prognosis on the economy is that it's a very slow moving train wreck, but it's a very bad train wreck. And it will be the worst train wreck, again, that we've seen in our lifetimes. This will be the this will be worse, certainly, than the Great Recession. I believe it'll end up being worse than the Great Depression. I think this will become the greatest depression.
Wow.
So unfortunately, there has to be a lot more darkness before the light ultimately wins. I do believe in the end game, the light will win over the darkness, but I don't know how long it will take. I think it'll be years, but I think it'll be in our lifetime. So that's exciting. I think we're going to live to see a new dawn of a new era, but we have to go through a very dark period first. So the government's printing all this money. They're already, I mean, the dollar is collapsing. It's already down to like 91, 92 as compared to a basket of currencies. That's the lowest it's been in years now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as confidence in the currency is lost, which can happen very slowly for years and then all of a sudden at once, right? We don't know when the all of a sudden at once phase will happen, but it could be any day now. It could be any day, any month, any year. I'm not going to predict a date, but I would say it's definitely within the next 10 years.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up. I'm way more focused and productive. I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain. And I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last. And you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun to use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day. You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal. And it shows that they stand behind their product. Now to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order.
The dollar standard as the main reserve currency for the world, I don't believe is going to last even 10 years. I think it'll be even far less than that. But certainly by 2030, we will be in a new monetary regime around the world. What does that mean for Americans? Well, right, the standard of living for almost all Americans will be going down. Already, many Americans are experiencing a loss in their standard of living, and they've lost their jobs, and now the extra $600 unemployment checks have stopped coming, and Congress can't agree on a new stimulus, and the PPP money is running out by October, and American mm-hmm. Airlines has already said they're going to lay off another 17,500 people as soon as the PPP money is over. So will, you know, hundreds of other companies be making layoffs later this year. So the unemployment rate is not at its peak yet. We haven't seen the worst of it yet. The PPP money, maybe they'll do another act in Congress and it'll extend and pretend or a little bit longer. But ultimately, the losses are going to be felt. And, you know, I just read an article this morning that, you know, 40 million people are potentially facing eviction. I mean, that's unbelievable. 40 million people facing eviction.
Scary.
And you know, where are they going to go? You know, many of them may end up on the streets. I mean, that's just, you know, we're seeing it in LA. I mean, we have one of the worst homeless populations in the country. And every day there's a new tent city popping up on somebody's sidewalk somewhere. And it's a scary time. It's, you know, our cities, especially the Democrat-controlled cities, they're burning up every weekend. You know, the stores are boarded up. You know, New York City is boarded up. Chicago looks like a war zone. Portland, it's horrible. I mean, all these cities are getting decimated. So that's just a sign of what's coming. I said a couple of years ago that when the next downturn comes, it's going to be far worse, and we will see social unrest. Everyone said I was nuts. You're crazy. Most people on Wall Street said, no, the next recession is going to be a little dip and we'll come right back. And I said, no, it's impossible. No matter what, regardless of COVID, of course, it's convenient for the elites and the bankers and the government to all blame COVID. That's the reason. Actually, it's the government's response that's creating more damage than the COVID itself. So that's just an excuse. And by the way, the market was going to crash anyway. We saw it happening starting in September of last year when the repo market blew up, which is the overnight lending market from banks. You know, when the banks look at their balance sheet each night, they have to have enough liquidity. So they go to other big banks to borrow money. And they have to borrow at the Fed fund rate, which is the rate the Fed controls. At that time, it was 2% back in September of 19. And one night, it went up to 10% interest rate because nobody wanted to loan each other money. So that means the bankers either felt that the other company didn't have enough liquidity or wasn't going to be able to pay them back the loan, or B, they didn't have enough liquidity themselves to be able to loan the money out. Either way, that's a big problem when, you know, we're being told with Dodd-Frank and all these laws that the banks are sitting with record liquidity, everything's fine. No, everything is not fine. And we saw that with the repo market blowing up in September. Yes, there's way more liquidity on their balance sheets today than ever before. And it's a lot of it's because of the $2.3 trillion CARES Act, $1.6 trillion of it went to the banks. So, of course, they're sitting with all this cash. That still doesn't mean they're going to end up being solvent. So my prediction is next year after the election in 2021, we're going to see the largest number of bankruptcies in the history of America. We're going to see the largest eviction foreclosure, either, you know, tenants being evicted from rentals or, you know, tenant or homeowners being evicted from their homes due to foreclosure. We'll see the biggest wave of foreclosures and evictions in the history of, I think, the United States. And it'll be primarily next year, 2021. And of course, that leads to more unrest and more violence and more danger. And so, you know, I've been saying for years, and you and I learned years ago from Robert Kiyosaki, the five G's, you know, have guns, have gold, have ground, which is real estate, have grub, which is food on hand. And he says, have gasoline. That's the one G I don't have is gasoline, but I have the other four G's. And, you know, preparing for the worst, I always like to say, I am actually an optimist. Although when people hear me speak, sometimes they think I'm a pessimist because I talk about all these horrible trends. I'm just a realist. And so I like to say, I always prepare for the worst, but I hope for the best. And I really do. And I pray for the best.
Yeah. What do you say to those young people that might be hearing this going, whoa, okay. So where do I invest? How do I build wealth? How do I navigate this crazy terrain that you're, you know, this vision that you're painting for me right now, you know, what this grim outlook, what does that leave for me, the capitalist that wants to build something big and unlock big dreams, big goals?
So the one thing I've been advising people to do, I have felt, you know, for, I think I did my Go Talk 5 years ago and Go Bundy Gold.
Yep.
And so I've always been saying that at least 10% of your investable assets should be in gold and or silver. I like silver a little more than gold right now, just because I think it has a longer way to run, but gold or silver or both should be at least 10%. Now, I had gotten to 10% before COVID. It took me years to get there of acquiring on, I buy on the dips, you know, every time the price drops, I buy a little more, try to dollar cost average over time, but buying on the dips. And over time, I accumulated to where I got to 10% of my net worth. Now, since COVID, back in March, when the prices really dropped, I knew that was a temporary blip because I've been following the gold and silver market since 2004. And so even though the day I got sick with COVID, March 18th, was also the day that silver dropped to right below $12. It was like $11 and something cents. It was crazy. I backed up the truck and bought, you know, tens of thousands of ounces of silver because I just knew that, you know, that opportunity was fleeting. And sure enough, the next day it popped back up. And of course, now it's like $28 an ounce for silver. So
even COVID couldn't keep you away from buying. No,
I didn't tell my wife, but I literally snuck out of my quarantine, ran down to my office on the second, you know, in my house, but I had to go to, you know, downstairs to do this. And I wired the money real quick and just made a couple of trades and ran back up before she woke up. So
that's great.
But I had to do it. Like, I just, you know, because I follow it and unfortunately I obsess about it and I'm always looking at the pricing. So I think that's something very simple, you know, and especially if you're a new investor, you don't have a lot of money to work with, you know, silver is still cheap at $27. Now, of course, it's not 12 or 15 like it had been for a while. And it could go back down a little bit. I don't think it's going to go below, you know, $25, you know, anytime soon. I feel like 27, 2750 is, it's been creating a nice base. From here, it'll go to the next leg up. But in the long run, certainly within a few years, I think silver is going to exceed its all-time high, which was $50. It hit $50 twice. It hit $50 in the year 2011, and it hit $50 in 1980, which was a long time ago. Mm. In 1980, when silver was $50, if you adjust for inflation, today silver would have to be $300 just to equal the $50 of 1980.
Wow.
So it could get to 300. Some of the analysts I follow believe silver is going to go to 300 or more. I mean, in my mind's eye, in my third eye, while meditating, I've seen $100 silver price. So I think that's for sure coming. You know, again, who knows? I'm predicting the future here. But in my crystal ball, I would say silver is going to go to $100 at some point. Probably within the next 5 years, certainly within 10, there's no question. And gold is definitely going to double from here. $4,000 to $5,000 gold is easy. But again, in my mind's eye, I've seen $8,000 gold, and I've also read a bunch of analysts, and many analysts come to the same conclusion of around $7,000 to $8,000 in gold. Some analysts are saying $10,000, $12,000, or $15,000 gold is possible. But for me, like, when silver, and the other thing I look at between gold and silver is the ratio. So back in March, when silver dropped so low, the ratio hit literally an all-time high. So the ratio is how many ounces of silver equals 1 ounce of gold in the dollar price. And the average over the last 100 years, which is, you can't go much further back than that because then it's kind of irrelevant, but just in the last 100 years, the average ratio of silver to gold was between 40 and 60. 40 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold, up to 60.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
The highest it had ever been in over 5,000 years of recorded history. And we literally have ancient clay tablets that talk about gold and silver coins and the ratio of gold to silver. The ratio of silver to gold in the Earth's crust is 15-1. So that would be the natural ratio. The ratio of gold to silver in mining output is 20-1 because most of silver is mined as a byproduct of base metals such as copper and zinc and lead. But the highest ratio we've ever seen was 105. Back in March of this year, due to COVID and the massive crash in the stock market, which is what leads to crash in the metals market, because when there's margin calls on Wall Street, people are forced to sell anything. So if you have gold and silver stocks or gold and silver ETFs, you're forced to sell it to hit your margin call, which is what pushes the price down. I think there'll be another leg down, by the way, in the stock market in the future. And we'll see another big drop in gold and silver prices with it again. So that might be another opportunity if you haven't gotten any to get into that market. So silver ratio to gold got to 125, dude, which is crazy.
Dang.
Again, a reason why I knew I had to buy tons of silver back in March because the ratio was just so ridiculously high. Now the ratio has come down to about 72, so it's not nearly as high. But it's still above the range of 40 to 60, right? So, and because I think this time, eventually the market's going to be a big bull market and there's going to be a big blow off top at the end of it. So the biggest gains usually come at the very end of a bull market in general. And when everyone starts piling into gold and silver, I think they're going to push the ratio certainly below 40, probably could go as low as 20. One of the guys I follow, Mike Maloney, who's certainly one of the world's experts on gold and silver, he says he thinks it could go down to the ratio of 10, which would be absurd. So imagine if gold is $5,000, the ratio of 10 means silver would be $500, which would be absurd. So anything's possible. Like I said, you know, if I had to, you know, project or predict a price, you know, when silver gets below 60, I might start selling some of my silver for gold. I would just be exchanging, trading silver for gold. Mm-hmm. When silver gets to 50, I might do a little more. When it gets to 40, the ratio gets to 40, I might do a little more. If it goes below 40, I'll probably start selling off my silver as it goes lower. Eventually, as the ratio goes lower, I don't mind having no silver and all gold. But in the long run, what I'm expecting, I don't know if it's 2, 3, 4, or 5 years in the future, when the crisis finally bottoms out, when everybody expects that real estate prices only goes down. Right now, people still think real estate prices only go up because even during a pandemic, prices are going up right now, which is really crazy. And so, and of course, it's because there's a number of reasons why that is, but I believe it's a temporary blip. There will be a huge downturn in pricing in real estate. Because of all the foreclosures, because of all the defaults, there's no way the government can print enough money to avoid it. There's going to be a downward trend in pricing eventually, even if they delay it a year or two, it will happen. I think by the time that all plays out, my gold and silver should be at all-time high prices. So the trade then is sell your gold and buy real estate dirt cheap. So the way to really create wealth over time is to really just play one, know the cycles, study the cycles, and then just play one asset against another. You know, I usually am not a stock market investor, but if stock markets crash to new all-time lows or to big lows, who knows? I don't know if it will or not. With all the money printing now, it looks less likely. But if it happens, then I might even sell some gold and buy stocks if it's cheap. But certainly, I think it's going to happen in real estate. Stocks is now, even today, I was reading an article, even Wall Street executives now who make a living predicting the future are now saying we can't predict the S&P 500 anymore because of all the money printing and because the Fed just said that interest rates are never going to go up and they're going to print money forever. And so, you know, if you look at Venezuela's stock market, the stock market is a straight up line. You would think that if you were in Venezuela, everyone who owns stocks must be rich. The problem is that even though the nominal value is skyrocketing, the value of the currency is plummeting because of hyperinflation faster than the nominal value is going up. So even though I don't know what the currency is, but let's say you had 5,000 and then it goes to 10,000, then it goes to 100,000. Now you've got 1 million of your currency units. Well, but your 1 million of your currency units buys you less than 5,000 did when you started. So you're still worse off than you were, even though you have a lot more units of currency. So that's what's starting to happen with the stock market. It's detached from reality. One of the ways we know this is you look at the Warren Buffett indicator, right?
And I was going to ask you about that.
It's never been higher. I mean, the last time it was even close to this high was the NASDAQ tech bubble of 1999, which is where I got started as an entrepreneur and started an internet company with my wife. And you know, we were raising money like it was, you know, water falling off a waterfall. I mean, it was like they were just pouring money out for startups in the dot-com space back then because you couldn't lose.
Right.
It didn't matter if you made money. In fact, it was better if you were not profitable because your valuation would go higher. It was absurd. But of course, we had a big crash. And then even in 08, when the stock market came back, the Warren Buffett indicator, which is basically the Wilshire 5000 divided by the gross domestic product of the country. The theory is it doesn't make sense that all the companies in America combined worth should be more than the gross domestic product of the country that it all produces. It wouldn't make sense. So the Buffett indicator is when it gets to more than a ratio of one, right? Meaning that now the Wilshire 500 index is greater than the GDP, that's overvalued in his view, right?
And which so, is that why he moved a heavy position into gold mining companies?
Yeah, so he recently just sold all of his shares of Goldman Sachs. He unloaded a huge position. He still owns some of his Chase, mm-hmm. JP Morgan Chase stock, but he sold off some of it. He sold off a big portion of his Wells Fargo. He's still a large shareholder of Bank of America, so he hasn't totally given up on the bank stocks. But he sold all those stocks and then at the same time bought $500 million stake in Barrick Gold,
right,
which is the ticker symbol GOLD, G-O-L-D. It's the largest gold mining company in the world. And so for a guy who has disparaged gold and has said gold is nothing but a pet rock that you dig out of the ground and then you just put it back underground in your safe as soon as you get it, for someone who's, you know, not been very highly positive on gold, it sure is interesting to see him buying gold. And also he's sitting with still records amounts of cash. And, you know, if he's got all this cash, right, you would think he would want to invest it, have it working, because cash is clearly, I was on the panel in Breckenridge, and I think we won the argument that cash is trash. So sitting on a lot of cash is really detrimental because it's losing value to inflation. You know,
right.
The interest you're getting is less than the inflation. And that's if you use the fake inflation number of CPI. If you use real inflation, it's more like 10 or 12% inflation if you include housing costs and healthcare mm-hmm. costs and education costs, which what most Americans are, you know, are struggling dealing with. Inflation's like 10 to 12% a year. Therefore, if you're earning 0.5%, you're losing 11.5% on your money by keeping it in cash. So for Buffett to have this much cash means he's just not willing to take the risk at an overvalued stock market to buy companies other than a gold mining company, which again shows that he's losing confidence in the currency as well. And he's also said that he doesn't believe all this money printing is a good idea. You know, giving money away to, you know, this universal basic income concept, a helicopter drop of money, the mm-hmm. all the money they're giving to Wall Street. He doesn't believe that that's a good idea because it's really just blowing bigger bubbles and delaying the inevitable crash, which will come. You cannot fight the laws of nature, and the economy operates under the same laws of nature. It builds energy until one day it can't take it anymore and it literally just implodes. And that's what we're seeing. We're in the process of a slow move. That's why I called it a slow moving train wreck, because it's a process that will happen over time, but it's inevitable. So what I think, and I think it's dangerous if you're trying to get into the real estate world to get in now.
You know, I agree.
Timing does matter. So buying anything right now, to me, is dangerous. It's very likely it'll be worth less a year or two from now than what you pay for it. And even anything anyone bought in the last year could be a risk. I mean, I bought a deal last year. It was a pretty good, you know, it was above the market cap rate by 200 basis points. So
yep.
I have a cushion there, you know, already.
Are you selling anything right now?
No, I'm not selling anything. I certainly thought about it. But I have some clients who are struggling and have some tenants who aren't paying. And, you know, we have an eviction moratorium, so we
yep.
can't evict anybody.
Yep.
And I've got, you know, I start off every month with the, you know, roughly 250 units that we manage in Los Angeles. I start off with about 25% of the tenants not paying rent. But we're continually following up with them. We're very assertive. We're very, aggressive in terms of not in our tone or in our stance, but in just our follow up. We're continually following up with tenants. So by the end of the month, we're getting money in every week. We get it down to about 10% of the tenants are still unpaid, but we've got about 10% of the tenants that haven't paid in months.
Yep.
And so of course they're at risk of being evicted at some point. Today, in fact, California just announced that statewide.
I saw that.
Through January 31st. Now the tenants only have to pay 25% of their rent, which is still crazy, but hey, at least it's better than zero.
Yeah.
And they can't be evicted if they pay 25% of the rent. It's going to get worse because of all these things. And so eventually the defaults work their way through the system. It takes years for banks to foreclose, as we saw through the last crisis.
Yep.
And so the best deals, I think, are 3 or 4 years in the future.
What kind of real estate product should people be looking at as well as being very cautious of?
I mean, in my experience and my research, I've always come back to multifamily as the number one most stable asset class there is. I never expected the government would put us in a state of lawlessness where we couldn't actually enforce our lease contracts. That's surprising to me.
Yep.
And so that certainly changes the dynamic a little bit, especially in California. And there's some laws coming up in November that could make real estate a lot worse in California if they pass. Make sure everyone votes no on Prop 21.
Yep.
The Rent Affordability Act, they call it, will definitely make rent way less affordable because there'll be no incentive to ever build new units. They want to put vacancy control. It won't pencil out, and the housing stock will decline, and no one will invest in their properties, and landlords will lose their properties through foreclosure, and it's just going to create a mess and less housing. So it's not going to solve the problem. It's going to make it worse. So
I
feel like right now the only investment I see that's not overvalued, because bonds make no sense, you get no interest, stocks are overvalued. Real estate is still expensive and overvalued. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's not overvalued at the moment is gold and silver, but eventually I think real estate is going to be a great opportunity. I actually think I'll be able to syndicate deals in LA, which I haven't been able to do in years because the cap rates are too low. You need to have at least a 7 or 8% cash flow return to investors to make it worthwhile to raise capital. So I think those days will be back in the future. And so I'm actually excited about it. I've been working on building my management company. We're putting in more sophisticated software systems to be able to scale up. We're focused on adding new third-party management accounts, really just for gaining in our experience, gaining in our infrastructure, to gain in our bandwidth, so that when the time comes to go aggressive in acquisitions and syndications, I think I have another big mountain ahead of me to climb. I'm excited about it because I always said, man, if I knew what I knew now and I had money in the mid-90s, I probably would have been a billionaire by now.
Yeah.
But I didn't have enough money and I didn't know enough in the mid-90s when the LA real estate market was in the tank. And so I think I might get a second chance at that in the coming years.
I know, I'm excited about it. I graduated college in 2010. I bought my first investment in 2011. And looking back, I'm like, oh man, if I had would have known then what I know now, but that's the exciting part about cycles, right? And understanding, like you said, how to play the game and to look at all the, I kind of just look at it as like every cycle is like, 1,000 puzzle pieces thrown on a table and you got to figure out how to put them all together to get the, okay, I see the picture here. Now I know how to navigate the board game. I know what rules to play by. I know what players I'm playing against or with. And that should be exciting for people as well. So it's not gloom and doom. It's just being aware of what those variables are in the equation and using that formula to your favor. Mike, man, this has been amazing, brother. Always enjoy chatting with you. And I can't say how much I appreciate all of the insight and the wisdom and just obviously all the conversations that we get to have. We've traveled Vietnam and we've been all around the world together, man. So that's always fun doing life with you. And I know some people are you're not big on, do you put out a ton of content like out? You guys are getting a little taste of, you know, Mike Hananel, cause he doesn't, you're not on social media. You don't put out a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I may in the future. My first step is to get back to, as you know, I had a goal of writing a book many years ago, and I sort of shelved that idea, and I didn't know why. And I think my subconscious was holding me back from releasing that. Actually, Lance has been really helping me in as a coach to figure out why and what's happening. And so I've got a renewed excitement and energy around the book, which is called The Multifamily Manifesto. And I've got a written draft of it, but I'm now going to put a bunch more layers into it and try to make it much more fun, entertaining, and really put a little magic into it. So cool. My goal is to get back on that so that certainly, you know, within the next year, come out with that. I want it to be out so that when the market opportunity does arise and there's time for people to acquire this handbook of how to do it, how to play the game of multifamily, will be available. So yeah, I'm excited.
Well, you got a pre-order right here, brother. And
thank you.
For everybody that wants to, you know, check out some of the references or links that Mike mentioned here in the show today, be sure to check out the show notes. And Mike, always, man, appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Anytime. Love it. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. Thanks for all that you're doing on the podcast. You're bringing a lot of knowledge and kernels of wisdom and, you know, just a light for good is what you're doing. And I really appreciate it. And more power to you, man. Keep it going.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you share it with somebody else who maybe needs to hear this today or that could gain some value from something that was talked about or discussed in today's interview. You just never know. One piece of information, a conversation, a tool, a resource can completely transform and change the trajectory of someone's life or their business. So if you get any kind of value or you want to support the show, all we ask is that you help us organically get this in front of more people. Also, for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey and unlock more financial freedom, get more time back, and just level up your life, your business, your finances, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com to check out all the amazing products and resources that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, courses from our guests, all kinds of free content, downloads, checklists, upcoming event info, and how you can connect with us live in person, all kinds of great valuable tools. You can get that over at therichlifeacademy.com. Last but not least, I always want to know, who do you guys want to hear me interview next? Let me know. Shoot me a text at 844-447-1555. With that being said, until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friend.